Hi, I'm Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric, and this is our biggest sale ever. Buy a new air conditioner or furnace and get 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Plus, Four Seasons guarantees to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000, guaranteed. Call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Chicago, the grudge matches on the gridirons might be gone, but get ready to hit the ball and touch them all at your local Chevy dealer, where you'll find the real MVPs of SUVs. If you're thinking about rounding third and heading for home in a new Chevy, you're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to take the next step and banner up. Need the power and durability of a Silverado? The all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer? The spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban? Or the sporty city-friendly Trax? Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to win the game like a pro. So don't wait. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate the nearest dealer, and start shopping online. Things are warming up out there, and you need a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Chevy, together, let's drive.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else. It's time for the super polished, yet to be named Smart Baseball Weekly segment with Eno Harris. Saris, son of a bitch. Brought to you by 7 Mile Casino, just 7 minutes from the ballpark by the bay in Chula Vista. Here's Eno Saris with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
And we welcome Eno to the program. And sorry I missed you last week, Eno. I heard you were having a bit of a rough morning, according to Woods.
All good now. Just took me a week.
You sound like a new man. Yeah, the older you get, that's about a. I find it's about a week recovery, a full 7 days. It's super fun.
So let's. I want to start with our Padres, Eno, this morning, and Michael King. You've had your stuff plus number projections, and you know Michael King does well, but not, you know, not top five, top ten in baseball, but. Boy, I mean, he had some nasty movement yesterday on some of his pitches. A lot of the pitching ninja treatment from the movement that he is getting. And we had the he may be pitching himself into an unaffordable realm for as a starting pitcher going into free agency this offseason. But what do you see from Michael King, and what do your numbers kind of project for the kind of career trajectory that he's on?
Yeah, it's pretty interesting because he has something in common with other kind of lower slot guys that throw sinkers, and some of these other guys have trouble with lefties. And you know, I think you saw in yesterday's game, one of the reasons King doesn't necessarily have trouble with lefties is that he throws that sinker front door, so he throws it basically at the lefty and it comes back over the zone, and that's been really effective for him. And that was something that was really effective for Corey Kluber as well, so that's an important thing that he does. The other thing is his changeup doesn't rate that positive by Stuff Plus, but he really commands it like well. And when he commands it well to like the lower corner of the zone, it looks beautiful. So it's a little surprising that Stuff doesn't like it, but given his arm slot, it's kind of expected movement in a way. But he commands it so well that it doesn't matter. So he has a plan against lefties, and then against righties, he's a sinker sweeper guy. That can really dominate them. So I understand how it all gets put together, but it relies a little bit more on command than people realize. It's not necessarily the biggest stuff guy. And I don't know exactly how that'll age. That's it's laudable. It's great. You know, it's better than not having command. And maybe it's better than relying on stuff, because stuff is just going to age and go away. So maybe it is a great package to bet on, but we also have to remember his injury history. And that'll come up when they're talking about how many years he's going to get. So
yeah.
I don't think you'll get like the Garrett Cole. Like, I don't think he'll get like 7-8+ years, but he'll get a decent amount of money on like a 5-year deal. Something probably starts with a two, like a $200 million deal, something like that.
I mean, he's honestly like he's one of those guys, and I'm sure, you know, there's dozens of these guys across baseball. You know, when he grabs the ball as a Padre fan, just when you watch, it's such a fun watch. He's such a fun watch. You talk about command, and you think about Greg Maddux putting the ball where he wants. And even when Michael doesn't command, like he didn't command his slider early, he figured it out, right? And
yeah.
Eventually, like, he starts dotting, and that two-seam has 2 feet of run on a right-hander. It's impossible to hit. He is a joy to watch pitch, and because it's aesthetically pleasing, but it's also, you're like, we're winning this game. Michael King's on the bump, we're winning this game. And, you know, a guy like Dylan Cease, who Stuff Plus favors a little bit more, you still have him pretty high in Stuff Plus. I can't say the same as, like, that it's such a fun watch. And, you know, you think about, we watched Blake Snell here for years.
Oh, yeah.
The guy ripped my stomach in half. I mean, seriously, watching his games, it was like I had to have a whiskey halfway through because the stuff was elite. But, oh, my God, it was the most painful watch of all time. So I love the command that he has. It certainly makes for a more aesthetically pleasing watch.
Yeah, I think you could go and look right now maybe at what's going on with Aaron Nola, though. In Philadelphia, an example of what can happen. I mean, Aaron Nola's velo's down to 90 and a half.
Where was he sitting in his prime? Like 95?
Yeah, 94, 95. Yeah,
that's concerning.
Plus. And he's a great command guy with a great breaking ball, with an approach against lefties. Usually very fun to watch. Yeah, you know, the best guys, the reason why Cole got all that money, I know it's weird to talk about him because he's hurt right now, but he had a really good run, and he was kind of nearly worth the money anyway that he was given. And Scherzer was worth the money he was given in Washington. And those two guys are guys that do have feel for the ball and had stuff. I mean, that's who you want to give the big bag to, you know?
Yeah.
Dylan Cease is an interesting study as well because his Stuff Plus numbers are still good, and he's getting swing and miss and strikeouts, but he's not having his usual success so far this year, and feels like he's a bit mystified by it. The Padres are a little bit mystified by it. Any insight you can offer, Eno?
Yeah, I mean, to some extent, he still has a small arsenal. I like that he's throwing the changeup more this year. I think he really needs like a cutter and a sinker. You know, I think that's what the league is doing, is diversifying your fastball portfolio so that nobody can be like, if it's hard, the shape is this, you know?
But he's trying with that two-seamer this year too, but
a little bit.
Some success.
Yeah, and maybe the thing is that the feel for new pitches doesn't, you know, he doesn't add new pitches the way, like Seth Lugo. I remember Seth Lugo was like, oops, new pitch today, you know? And I think Seth Lugo throws 10 pitch types now. So there's some guys who have a real affinity for adding new pitches and some guys where it takes more time. And then the other thing I would just say is when I watch him, he sprays that fastball. He just, you know, it's above the zone. And I think there are a bunch of waste zone pitches, which we, you know, call those pitches that the batter never even, you know, thinks about swinging on.
Yeah, they say uncompetitive on the broadcast. Every broadcast, it's the uncompetitive slider.
And
the
it's just
uncompetitive.
A waste of a pitch.
Yep,
that puts you in a bad count, and it puts you in a bad count, and then you have to be more fine, and you have to come more into the heart of the zone. So that's why I think a cutter and a sinker might allow him to, you know, throw to the heart of the zone with three different fastball types, you know, three different fastball shapes. If you throw to the heart of the zone with a four seam over and over again, people are going to time that. And that's with batters. That's what you can see with batters. You know, if you throw 100 in the middle of the zone over and over again, then, you know, even Hunter Green this year, who does throw 100 to the middle of the zone, got better by adding a splitter. So I don't know. I would say add more pitches. I'd say trust that sinker, use the sinker more often. and find something. I think a cutter just feels like something he could maybe throw that wouldn't go high above the zone, that would stay in the zone, you know? So it's what you think it is. It's fastball command.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, he's just got, like you said, spraying the fastball is a really good way of describing a Dylan C. start from time to time. Talking to the great Eno Saris from The Athletic here on Ben and Woods this morning. So when we had you last Thursday, you said, oh, I got to go right. Were you hungover and writing about the Colorado Rockies? Is that the piece that you were working on? Because that's like a double, that's like makes the hangover a little bit worse. Because I saw your piece, it dropped today. And it was about the really, really horrific month of April that the Rockies had.
Yeah, I was trying to put it in focus, you know, was it the worst month ever? And it wasn't the worst month ever. There are months that teams won one game. There are months where teams, you know, had a worse run differential. But if you look at their run differential and you look at their record, they were among the worst. That month was among the worst 99.5% of, like, it's in the 0.5 percentile of worst months. So it's up there. And you know, the most depressing thing is that the 2024 White Sox had 2 months that were worse than that one.
That's amazing.
So that's how you set a record in losses, is you really have to have 2 or 3 months like that. Now, I think they'll probably pull out of the tailspin and just have like a regular old boring, you know, 50-60 win season. But it also points to just a general, my colleague Chad Jennings had a piece about just the general commitment to mediocrity in Colorado that is depressing. Yeah. And just a blight. And I do have some sympathy for them because I've heard from analytics people and GMs that they think that the park itself costs them like 5 to 6 wins a year.
Oh yeah, easily, right?
Yeah, and so you know they have to overcome that. They have to build a 96 win team to win 90. But they just, it's just obvious that they're like the meme is, we've tried nothing and we're all out of ideas. It's like,
yeah, what do you do? Like, what's the plan of attack? You know, I remember, Ben, you probably remember this too, and you do too. You know, when, you know, I mean, God, they got to a World Series, right? And I remember they're like, oh no, I can't remember who the GM was at the time. They're like, we're going to bring in sinker ballers and every Mike Hampton and all these guys, and like, we're going to sink the ball here, and they're going to beat it into the ground because we don't want it. You know, in theory, it made sense.
Yeah.
But the sinker doesn't sink like it does in exactly. Arizona or anywhere else. Like, it's just a different.
In fact, the four seamer is the one that almost is like four seamers and cutters are the ones that are kind of closer to normal.
Yeah, okay. And so, I mean, maybe you start there, but if you're them and you're a fan of that team, or hell, even if you're the GM or whatever, you're like, where do I even start with this squad?
Yeah, I mean, I've had crazy ideas, like put the entire stadium in like a hyperbaric chamber type deal. Where, like,
humidor?
You know, like the whole stadium is a humidor, yeah. So that when you go in, the doors like sort of vacuum seal behind you.
100%. Like an airplane.
I don't know. That might be worth it. It might be millions of dollars, but it might be worth it.
It's crazy. Better than winning 40 games.
It costs them their beautiful outdoor stadium.
That's true.
That you know, people come to visit. So the other idea that I had was, you know, just lean in. Remember that one of the only times that they were successful was the Blake Street Bombers.
Yeah.
And I think the idea is lean into offense, and you should be able to sign every fringe hitter
yes.
that's available.
Yes.
You know, like the what the Padres are doing, like Solano and Profar and guys, like the Rockies should be gobbling those guys up.
Well, they tried with Profar, and he was terrible. Like I don't know. I
they have bad luck too.
bad luck, bad process, bad environment, bad
but
culture.
They strike out more than anybody in baseball,
oh.
and they would get the most out of striking out the least, because the thing that Coors inflates the most is not even homers as much as it is balls in play.
Yeah.
Like, it's a huge outfield, and the balls drop in all the time. So if you had like a lineup of Solanos, you'd do better than, you know, a lot of these like 38% strikeout rate guys that are running out there.
Interesting.
And on the pitching side, I would look a lot more like the Rays were. They said something like, we're going to be the Rays. And that's when they traded away Arenado. They're like, see, the Rays trade away people. Now we do.
Yeah, look at us now.
look at us now. And I'd be like, no, you need to learn how the Rays like build a pitching staff with like a completely new idea. Like, instead of we have starters and we have relievers, I would have 13 pitchers, and some of them go three innings and some of them go two. It would be awful. I'm not saying this is great for watching. I'm just saying that you have to try something different, and having guys that some go three, some go two, you could have guys that, you know, you pitch them a little bit more away from home, and the other guys you pitch more at home, you know,
you play with that
where you're like, oh, this guy's stuff actually, you know, John Gray has been the same for Texas as he was for Colorado. So there's something about John Gray that's not very exciting, but it's about the same in Colorado as it is in other places.
Interesting.
So you'd find those pitchers, and you'd play them more at home. I don't know. Try something is what I'm saying.
Last thing for me, you know, on the other end of the spectrum, there was some maybe thought that maybe the Dodgers are a little more vulnerable than we thought. But here they are now, 31 games in, best record in baseball, despite all those pitching injuries. Are they actually showing that they're less vulnerable, perhaps, that they've already overcome a ton and still have the best record in the league?
I mean, I think it's a double-edged sword, because, yes, someone's going to say they're injured all the time, but their pitching development is also pretty good. Like, you know, they're going to settle upon some pitchers that'll get them through. And, of course, the lineup is their biggest strength, because they've spent the most money there, and they have the greatest players there. But, you know, what they do on the pitching side is, when their big price guys go down, they do maybe they go down too often. Maybe there's too much injury there. But they do have a bevy of young arms that they kind of run through. And they're like, oh, Landon Knack, that's not going to work. How about Ben Kasparis?
Yeah.
Oh, hey, look, Tony Gonsolin's healthy now. So they're just like, we plan to have 20 starting pitchers. You know, 10 to 15 will be good. And at any given time, we'll have four or five that are healthy. that's their plan. It's like it's the Rays with money.
Yeah, the Rays with money. Just 15 starting pitchers, and whoever's healthy in the playoffs, that's who we're going to roll with. And I can disparage the fact that they have 13 guys on the IL, but I can't disparage the fact that they keep winning. They keep figuring out ways to win. And I fully expect them to be 100 plus wins at the end of the year, like we all did. I don't think anything's going to derail that.
But maybe still a little bit gettable, like depending on who's healthy in the playoffs.
Sure.
I mean, Yamamoto is down, and, you know, like, if their ace is Ben Kasparis, then, like, maybe they're gettable. So,
no doubt.
I think they're gettable.
Yeah, I think they're gettable.
They're in no danger of missing the playoffs.
No.
Right. It's not that. It's just like what happens in a short series.
Yeah.
It may not just end in hardware again.
Yep.
Eno, we are out of time. Good chatting with you. We will talk to you again next Thursday. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you, buddy.
Eno Saris, brought to you by 7 Mile Casino every single week.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, we got to run a business and we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because I think most of us, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.